We now have Todd Rosenbluth, director of ETF and mutual fund research at CFRA, on the line with us from New York. CFRA is a leading independent investment research firm. I would say Todd covers the ETF and mutual fund space as well as anyone anywhere. And we're going to dive into a number of different topics today. Todd, great having you back on the program.
Great to be with you guys. Thanks a lot.
Todd, let's just pick up where we left off with Vanguard's Jerry O'Reilly. I know you're very familiar with what Jerry does, and certainly you agree it's important for an ETF to track its index closely, if not perfectly. But I know CFRA's focus is much more on what's inside an index or what an ETF holds. Do you think that message has sort of gotten lost in the shuffle? Just with a focus on fund fees and things like securities lending, has that message been lost a bit?
We definitely think it has. So, you know, even at a firm like Vanguard, which offers, I think, three different large cap ETFs, Vanguard, large cap, VV, VOO, which is the 500 product, and then VONE, which is the Russell 1000 based product. There are three different indices that are behind it, and it's presumably a similar team that's tracking those indices. So there should be no difference in the performance, but there is a difference in the performance because they don't hold the exact same stocks. So fees matter. We would assume that an index manager does a good job of tracking the index through securities lending. That should be a given that's out there. But what's inside the fund is going to drive the performance going forward. And I do think that many investors and advisors are failing to grasp that concept still.
So if we boil that down for people listening to the show, where should things like fund cost and index tracking error rank? Where should those rank when investors are evaluating ETFs?
Yeah, well, we think exposure should be higher up on the list. And not just are you in the large cap space, but, for example, or you're in the dividend space or the technology space, but how are you getting that? What are the underlying holdings? Fees matter. They certainly eat into returns, and the higher the fee, the typically worse investor experience that will have, all things equal. What we're seeing is, as I know you've talked about on your program in various times, a race to the bottom of cutting fees. There's products that track the exact that have the same exact expense ratio, but 200, 300, 400 basis points or more of performance difference. So we really think exposure matters. We have research at CFRA on our platform. There's other third-party providers that can help as well.
When you talk about exposure, I know a good example that you have used recently is Facebook stock, right? Facebook was down, 20% a few weeks ago, and there are some pretty big differences among prominent ETFs in terms of their Facebook exposure. Can you perhaps highlight a few of those? Because I do think It really helps drive home your point on understanding what's inside a fund.
Yeah, so I think a part of what's going on with Facebook, obviously, it's fundamental challenges, but Facebook, as I know you've talked about on your program as well, is being moved from the technology sector to the communication services sector within the GICS framework. The technology select sector spider still has a sizable weighting in Facebook. It's one of the three or four largest positions overall, even with the fall that it's had. Whereas Vanguard Information Technology ETF, VGT, has begun to make the transition and reduce the exposure that Facebook and other stocks that are moving to the new sector have. And so Facebook is a 3% position at the end of June. That's the latest available that I've seen disclosed by Vanguard. And that notable difference between Facebook exposure plays a role in the performance. So VGT is up 17.3% based on as of yesterday, according to our data. And XLK, the technology sector spider, is up only 14.8%, 250 basis points of performance difference between these ETFs, with a 3 basis point expense ratio difference. It's the holdings that are driving it. Facebook is a key player in both these ETFs, but in different weightings.
Our guest is Todd Rosenbluth, Director of ETF and Mutual Fund Research at CFRA. Todd, I want to pivot and ask you about Fidelity's recent move. We spoke with ETF.com's Dave Nodig earlier on this decision by Fidelity to offer two index funds with zero expense ratios. What was your take on this move overall?
I think it's excellent. From an investor standpoint, I think it's wonderful that fees have come down not only for index-based ETFs, but they've also happened from a mutual fund standpoint. And so these are free, but what Fidelity also did, a couple of things that I think are exciting, is they brought the fees down for various other investment styles as well for funds, and have made institutional share class pricing available for retail investors or for advisors to use in an asset allocation strategy. So fees coming down is a good thing for investors. You have to be a Fidelity customer. You have to want to be a Fidelity customer and get the benefits of doing that. And if you want ETFs, I believe Fidelity also the same day expanded the number of commission-free ETFs that they have, including ones from iShares. So there's, you know, you have even more choices to have a zero minimum initial investment on Fidelity's platform. That's great, and I think we're going to see other firms compete on fees. But the, as we wrote about recently, fees remain still too high for many index-based mutual funds. So it's a good thing when they come down.
Well, on that note, I actually saw a piece in Barron's last week that included some CFRA research. Perhaps that's what you're referencing. And to me, this was pretty shocking. So CFRA noted there are currently 112 mutual funds tracking the S&P 500 with an average expense ratio of 0.51%. And Barron's noted the RIDEX S&P 500 C-shares is charging, this is even hard to say, 2.33%. And there were numerous examples cited of S&P 500 funds charging more than 1%. How in the world is that possible in today's day and age?
So a couple of things. One is that some of these funds are available with a advisor commission of a C-share class, a trailing load. So of that 200-something basis points, 100 of that is the C-share class. I don't know that you need to continue to have that. Many advisors are shifting their business models as well, but this is just inertia. Fund companies are not going to cut the fee when the assets are there. In some cases, the assets have come down for this, but there's still some sizable funds that we came across that had several hundred million dollars of money and were charging well above what we're seeing from you know, iShares and Vanguard and State Street and the ETF wrapper from Schwab and Vanguard and Fidelity and the mutual fund wrapper. People are paying way too much money because they don't realize it. They're not working with a third-party firm to assess their portfolio, whether that's an advisor or a research firm, and they're paying too much, and that hurts their future returns. The more that you pay somebody else to manage your portfolio, the less you have with inside your portfolio to reach retirement, and it eats in.
Todd, going back to Fidelity's move, there was a lot of talk about this being a loss leader strategy. And when you talk about some funds that may be on the expensive side, I haven't dug into every fund that Fidelity has, but certainly they have some actively managed strategies that charge more. And so, you know, the thought is perhaps get customers in the door on the zero fee funds with a hope that they'll move to perhaps, you know, more expensive funds, other Fidelity services. You can even look at somebody like Vanguard, who just expanded their commission-free ETF platform, where they're effectively offering every ETF without that $5 or $10 ticket charge. Now, of course, Vanguard's known as a low-cost fund provider overall. I guess my question is, when you look at Fidelity and you look at Vanguard, how much do you think these recent moves are a loss leader strategy?
Yeah, I think the goal is to gather assets and then provide as many services to support those assets to make it sticky. And so there typically is going to be something that helps to entice investors in a competitive environment. The difference between a couple of basis points for a mutual fund or free really doesn't matter that much in the scheme of the way that Fidelity or Vanguard or other firms are running the business. And there's other services that they can make up for it. So, and that's okay. Investors, I don't think, are going into anything with their eyes shut, thinking that a free fund is the only, if that's the only thing they want, then they're going to be able to do that. And they're not going to, I don't believe they're going to be pressured to balance their portfolio towards active management or to trade more. So, but once you're in the door, you're enticed to do other things. And many people still use index-based mutual funds as a core and then active management or stock selection around that. and Fidelity will make money that way too with their variety of services they offer. And that's, again, a great thing for an investor standpoint, as long as they understand what's inside the portfolio, because the zero free just means money is being put into those stocks. It's important to understand what those stocks are.
Todd, I'm not sure if you saw this stat last week. I tweeted this out, speaking of Fidelity and Vanguard. This was in Bloomberg Business Week. So in 2010, Vanguard passed Fidelity as the largest manager of mutual fund assets. Today, Vanguard oversees twice as much money, about $5 trillion to Fidelity's $2.5 trillion. However, Fidelity actually still dwarfs Vanguard in terms of revenue. Bloomberg's Eric Balchunas had a great chart on this. It's like four times larger in terms of revenue. And Fidelity's revenue is more than two times the entire ETF industry's revenue. Do you think Fidelity knows that's not sustainable? And so when you look at this move to zero, you know, perhaps you're trying to head this off at the pass a little bit?
Yeah, I think the shift to index-based investing has a long tail to it. It's been building up, but I think there's still room for it. And Fidelity has been increasingly moving their business to accepting that mantra. So they have index-based sector ETFs that complement their actively managed sector mutual funds. They've got these mutual funds as well as others that they've come in to make that available. I do think that what's exciting about this is a large asset manager that's moving and embracing the index-based world as opposed to a smaller firm that's seeing the writing on the wall. So Fidelity has a great brand with advisors, with investors. I think they're going to be successful in gathering assets, and I'm excited to see once we get numbers about how these funds are doing. You know, from an asset gathering standpoint, it's too early to tell how they're going to do from a performance standpoint 1 or 2 months in.
All right, Todd, we only have about a minute left here. I did want to switch gears. You and I had a little fun on Twitter last week. We were debating Bitcoin ETFs. My sense is, from our interaction, you're not overly enamored with the prospect of Bitcoin ETFs. I think you're not quite sold they should be approved at this point. Why is that?
Well, I mean, the SEC has come out, and so once the SEC approves it, then we'll fully accept that that's the law of the land for where it is. But the SEC has concerns about the risks related to it and investors' awareness of those risks, and I think I haven't seen data that says that that's wrong, and neither has the SEC, which has much more transparency on this than we do. So, yes, there's buying and selling of Bitcoin. Yes, that's happening. It doesn't have to happen through an ETF wrapper for it to function, and we're skeptical that the SEC is going to get comfortable with that with that in the near term.
Well, Todd, with that, we'll have to leave it there. As always, greatly appreciate you joining us. Look forward to chatting again soon.
Thanks a lot, Nate. Pleasure.
That was Todd Rosenbluth, Director of ETF and Mutual Fund Research at CFRA. You can find his work at CFRAResearch.com. And I mentioned Twitter. Todd is a great follow on Twitter, @ToddCFRA. He has great content on ETFs, latest ETF news. Definitely highly recommend following him.